What we're going to do right now is we're going to read our passage together. So if you would all go to Psalm 117, and this is the little psalm that could, we're going to read it all together. As we have been doing, when at the beginning, at the end, where it says, praise the Lord, we are going to say hallelujah as two words. So we're going to read that all together. Ashley's going to help me lead here, but I want you to read it aloud at home as well, because we all need to read in unison. Even though we're divided by space, we are still God's people joining together and worshiping. So this will be a good time. Okay, are we ready? Okay, hallelujah. Yah, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. Okay, God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray, and then we will start our lesson. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we have the opportunity, the delight to praise you. We thank you that through your people, you have made the gospel spread to all nations. And the gospel has come to us. We are the ends of the earth, and yet you have brought the gospel to us. We thank you for this great thing that we as the nations have the opportunity to praise the Lord. Help us to understand this wonderful text. Help us to be thankful as well. Teach us today, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we are to Psalm 117. One of the first things you note when you come to Psalm 117, of course, is its length. It's two verses. It's short. I'm going to do what one of my professors once did for me. In the Hebrew text, Psalm 117 has 17 words. It is that small. It's that big in my Hebrew text, and the lettering is much bigger than in your Bibles. In various English translations, it's anywhere from 27 words in the New American Standard. I think it's 28 in the ESV, 29 in the NIV, 30 in the NRSV, 31 in the New Living, and all the way to 33 in the wordy King James. But you see in all of those translations, this is just a very short psalm. In the Protestant order of Scripture, it's almost near the center of the Bible. It's a small psalm, and yet this psalm is filled with great meaning. And you know, everybody you read on this, we talk about the great impact, even though there are only two verses. The second thing that you notice when you come to this psalm is that when you observe carefully, there's an interesting relationship between verse 1 and verse 2. It's something you don't see unless you look carefully at the people and the pronouns. Verse 1 is addressed to all the nations, all the peoples. The Gentiles, the peoples, are called to praise God. And then what is our conjunction? Remember, I teach you in grasping God's word how important conjunctions are. What's the conjunction? For. What does that indicate? What is four? Four indicates that purpose. It indicates this is why the nations are to praise the Lord. And yet the nations are to praise the Lord not because he's done anything for them. They're to praise the Lord because there's great is his steadfast love towards us, the people of Israel. So it's interesting that the nations should be praising the Lord because God has shown his steadfast love, his faithfulness to his people Israel. That makes for an interesting dynamic, but it also makes for great importance within this psalm. And that's one of the things that it teaches us. The nations are to praise the Lord because of the steadfast love and faithfulness that the Lord has expressed to the people of Israel. So they're not saying praise the Lord because he's done anything for us. It's praise the Lord because of what he's done for his people. So the good covenantal work of the Lord to his people should cause the peoples of the earth to join them in praising the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, through this, we're going to find out that the peoples, the nations, will be blessed through this. But that will take, we'll get there. This is the fifth of what we've been calling, and what is often called the Hallel, or the Egyptian Hallel. This is read at Passover, this 15, 16, 17, and 18 would be read after the feast. At first glance, again, you wonder where this is, but it is the Lord has triumphed with his people, and he has brought this, he has saved his people and brought them out of Egypt. This talks about God's covenantal love. This would be very appropriate to read when they're celebrating the fact that the Lord has brought his people out of Egypt. So this actually is very clear, and the people would understand this. Alexander McLaren, he's an old-time preacher, not a Puritan, but much later, but very much in line with that. The historical limitations of God's manifestations to a special nation were meant to his universal diffusion. The fire was gathered in a gate that it might warm the whole house. All men have a share in what God does for Israel. The idea is that God is working in his people Israel. The nations would see how greatly God had blessed the people of Israel, and that fire would spread out to the nations so that the peoples would see how great God was, and they would too join in praising the Lord. So there's a very real sense that this has an evangelistic, a missionary impact on others. The length of this psalm is small, but its scope is great. It calls upon the whole world to worship the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so this is a psalm worth knowing, understanding, memorizing. It wouldn't be too hard. Sam Petroni, you could memorize this, and you'd only be two verses, and then you could say people you know, tell people you know a whole psalm. So the Psalm 17 drives us back, and it takes us through the whole Bible. It drives us back to Genesis because it reminds us that the Lord is the God of the whole earth. God is not just the God of this small group of people in the nation of Israel, in Canaan. He is the God of the whole earth, and the whole earth needs to praise him. This shoots against all of our ideas of pluralism, where you know everybody can have their own God. The Lord says there's really only one, and it's me, and you need to worship me. This psalm takes us back to the Exodus, because the Lord's deliverance and covenantal promise to his people Israel actually benefit the whole earth, both through the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, but also as God makes this people into a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, they will bless the whole world. It points us forward to Jesus Christ, because it is through him that we find salvation, and no one can come to the Father but through him. When the nations are called to worship the Lord and him alone instead of their idols, it is the same as when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." It makes it very clear that there is only one God and only one God worth following. It also points us forward to the Great Commission, because just as Israel is to be a light to the nations, we are to take the gospel to all people. So this is a mission psalm. And finally, this psalm is eschatological. It points us to even further forward to Revelation, where we see a people from every nation and tribe and people and language. These people are redeemed and worshiping the Father and the Lamb forever. And so this wonderful psalm takes us really all across the Bible in what it teaches us. Okay, Ashley, do we have a few things to thank for? I'm going to say I'm very thankful for Cynthia, for Mary, and for Philip, who regulate the Facebook page and make sure everything gets out on time. They make sure the quotes are out there for you to see, because it's so hard to view the PowerPoints from here. They regulate it in case, and so far we haven't had any problems, but they're there in case some of you misbehave, but they are there to make sure you have a good experience on Facebook. So I'm so glad that they have chosen to serve the Lord in the middle of this time. Ashley.
Barbara Watson wrote, "I am thankful for God's healing power. In May, I fractured the longest bone in my body, the femur. As of September, my orthopedic doctor showed me the x-ray that revealed that the new bone had already grown back, replacing the one once fractured femur. I am awed at how God has designed these bodies in order that new bone replaces old bone. New cells replace old cells, etc. God is an amazing God, and I am thankful that he healed me.
Thank you, Barbara. Let's do a couple more, Ash.
Andre Fielder. Hello.
It's okay.
I am thankful for God's faithfulness to the Moody Church over these past 4 years, for the ministry of the pastoral staff, for the faithfulness and perseverance of the elders and search committee, for bringing Pastor Miller to us in his, God's timing. I believe that as a church, we've learned to seek God and depend on him during times of uncertainty. While it's often a stressful process, I'm thankful for the blessing that we as a country get to choose our own leaders, that we have the opportunity to participate in a national dialogue and are each able to cast a vote. I'm also thankful that it will, hopefully, soon be over. While I know that there are many who have been adversely affected, I'm thankful that I've been able to continue to work through the pandemic and have been able to be in Michigan and help my mom during this time. I'm also thankful for the ongoing ministry of the Moody Church and the creativity and skills of all those who are able to make it happen. Thank you so very much, Andre Fielder.
Okay. Ashley, I'm going to have you do two more, but Andre reminds me that I think all the Michigan State fans are very thankful today that Rutgers didn't run up the score on them yesterday. Okay. Okay. Do a couple more, Ash.
Okay. This is from Harold Watson. I want to thank God for Jesus coming in my place and all that he forgives me for because of his son. For Jesus coming because it was the Father's will, and for bringing me up out of a sick bed because of my leg cramps.
Amen. Thank you, Harold.
Okay. And this is from Onesia Bishop. I have been young, now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsake nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 37:25. I thank God for my accessory. I have never in my conscious state not studied the Bible because I was introduced to it at a young age. I am thankful to God for having given me the most loving and caring brother who more than made up for the father I never knew. I thank God for enemies. They keep me on my knees in the Word of God, boost my faith, and dependence on God. I thank God for knowing Christ personally and am grateful for the sacrifice he paid for me, capital letters. I thank God that I truly enjoy worshiping him in song and prayers. Thank God for the privilege to coming to America. I thank God for the simple body functions, sleeping, walking, seeing, swallowing, taste, breathing, things we tend to take for granted. God thought of everything. I thank God for those who prepare week after week to teach me the words of wisdom from all over the world. Daily devotions, sermons. What a blessing. God bless you all. Onesia.
Okay. Onesia, Harold, Andre, Barbara, thank you all so much. We love you guys and so glad you're part of our community. Okay, let's look at verse 1. I told Amy beforehand I could probably teach 45 minutes on these two verses because there's a lot here, but I did streamline it. Okay, verse 1, as we see, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. And so we begin this by hearing the familiar praise the Lord. Normally, you see in the Psalms, hallelujah. Actually, the whole of the Lord's covenantal name is stated in the first half. In the second half, it goes back to the normal. The second phrase, laud him, all peoples, it's close to parallel to the first line. And you know that's driven by parallelism, where they say the same thing twice. It has a very Aramaic feel to it in the way it's spelled, and probably designed to draw attention to the nations. If this was written, and we don't know precisely when the psalm was written, at the time of their returning from the exile, they would understand, they would want their friends who spoke those languages to catch on to their call to praise the Lord. Together, this is possibly the most pushy a psalmist gets ever with the nations. Psalm 47 may come close because it tells them to clap their hands, all peoples. But here he is explicitly, he's not just saying praise the Lord among the nations to the Israelite people. He's saying to the nations, you have a responsibility to praise the Lord. You have a responsibility to extol him, to talk about how great he is. Praise is, the focus is more on the fact that it's public. Extolling is more on the fact that we're talking about God's great virtues. It could also be translated to laud him. This is both exclusivist and inclusivist as an idea. Let me try to unpack that idea. Exclusivist is excluding, inclusivist is including. But it's the opposite of the way the world works. This is inclusive because all the nations are called upon to worship the Lord. God is calling all the peoples that he created to himself and say, you need to worship him. So it's not simply this little body of people, but it's growing and it's saying all the nations should see Israel, they should respond to that and praise the Lord. So it's very inclusivist because it brings people together. But it's exclusivist in that all the peoples are called to worship one God. They're called to worship the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ to us. This is kind of the opposite of the way the world works. The world is inclusivist in that they say, well, you know, any old religion will do. And even if you don't believe anything, that's okay. So they spread out and they say, all religions are the same. But on the other hand, in doing that, they're exclusivist because they divide people. Because every religion has its own idea. And religions, because they have conflicting ideas, and there's only one truth, and that's in the Lord of the Bible, it ends up being exclusive because it divides people, where the gospel brings people together. It calls everyone to worship the real God, the one who created us, instead of idols that people have fashioned from their hands and philosophies we devised with our own minds. And so in reality, the exclusive gospel, which says Jesus is the only way, is actually the most inclusive worldview because it draws it says to all peoples and all nations, come and follow the Lord who created you. So these are very different ideas, and that pushes us towards how Israel is going to relate to the Gentiles, and again, how we as the church relate to those around us. This also looks forward to Jesus, because Jesus makes it abundantly clear that he and he alone can show us to the Father. Jesus makes it very clear in John chapter 5, which Pastor Philip is going to come to very quickly, and that he is the one who has showed you the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When we get to John 14, didn't we do John in here? Yes, we did. A long time ago. That when we get to John 14, again, Jesus speaks exclusively, and you must come to the Father through him. So that's so very important that we understand that the gospel that brings us together is also the gospel that says you must follow the true God, the God of the Bible. And that's why the nations are called to praise him. But we're going to see a little bit more about that. Ashley, can you give us a few more things to be thankful for?
This is from Anna. Hello and warm greetings to our Fusion family from Anna. I am thankful for Scott and Amy's care and hard work in keeping our Fusion family connected. Thankful for the blessing and prayers of our church and Fusion family. I am thankful for the Lord's gracious mercy on me every day. I am thankful for the Lord's perfect and loving prayers for me. I am thankful for the Lord's patience and long suffering towards me, that his kindness leads me to repentance. I am thankful for the Lord's strength and for helping me to focus when I was facing a difficult task this week. There is much to be thankful for because our Lord is a generous giver. He is the best gift, And I am grateful that he lovingly and powerfully rescued me from the lost path I was on and has brought me into his marvelous light.
Praise the Lord.
This is from Toddy. Good afternoon, Fusion family. I am thankful for many things in my life, but most importantly for Jesus, who is my all in all. I am thankful for the gift of salvation, eternal life, as well as the abundant life I have with Jesus wrapped with his unconditional love. I am so thankful for grace, mercy, and goodness. My Lord continues to bless me with, even though I often don't deserve it. I am thankful for how God has kept me in good health, sound mind, and a yearning spirit for him. I am also thankful for my natural family and my extended family of God, who are a tremendous blessing to me. I am thankful for the Holy Spirit, who is always on my side, teaching, correcting, redirecting, and encouraging me. I am thankful I have a place to live and a source of income, though I am currently unemployed.
Before you do the next two, Ashley, I'm also thankful for Ashley and Davis and Cynthia, who take the time to be our people on the mic to help lead us and have their email up so that they can bring questions to me. So I'm grateful for their serving the Lord in the middle of this and helping us out. Okay, Ashley, two more.
Okay. This one's from Kathy Johnson. I am thankful for life. A little over a year ago, I had a heart attack. And while I was in surgery, my heart failed. I know there were friends and family praying for me. God heard those prayers and granted me life, for which I am very thankful. Recently, I had a full battery of tests on my heart. I was advised that my heart was normal with no scar tissue. And that is a miracle, because a year ago, I was told I had two lesions on my heart. So now I can say I am two times thankful. Kathy Johnson. This is from Jerry Melosa. Greetings. I am eternally grateful for God's unchanging character, promises, especially that he works all things for our good and that he will complete what he started in me. Also for the prayers and fellowships of the saints.
Okay. Jerry, Anna, Toddy, and Kathy, we are so grateful for you. We love you guys. We're so glad you're part of our community. We have so much to be thankful for. I mean, even in the middle of this hard time, even the middle of this, and there's so much going on in this world. There's so much going on right here in Chicago and elsewhere, but yet the Lord's watching over us, and we're going to be able to look back and be thankful for this time. So that's so good to hear. Thank you. Okay, let's take a little bit of look at verse 2. We've got a lot to go. So we come to verse 2. Let me read it for us, even though we all read it together. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and we know what that means by now, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Now, do we remember where steadfast love and faithfulness, where that starts, those two words together? I've been talking about that passage a lot. Ah, someone online, I'm sure, has posted it by now. But it's Exodus 34, remember, where the Lord reveals himself to Moses and talks about his character? And he says he's great in steadfast love and faithfulness. And most of these psalms keep driving back to that those concepts. Here, we see an unexpected twist that we've already talked about. The nations are to praise the Lord, not because of any perceived benefit to them, but because of the Lord's faithfulness to Israel. Now, that's an interesting thing. How are we by nature? We want to thank the Lord for what he does for me, if we're thankful at all. When we are grateful, we're grateful for stuff that happens to us. But here, they're to be grateful because the Lord has blessed Israel. They're to see how great what God has done in Israel, and therefore they are to praise the Lord. When it says, For great is his steadfast love. That translation fails to note the significance of the word here. A better translation is, his steadfast love has prevailed or triumphed over us. This is actually a war term. It's a battle term. It's a term for a warrior, if it was made into a noun. So this is an idea where it shows God has showed his steadfast love defeating his people. It's the idea is that his love has conquered us. Now, interestingly, you would think when you came to something connected with the Exodus, it would talk about the nations being conquered. But here it's that his steadfast love has prevailed over us and won us to himself. The Lord has, in a sense, conquered us with his love. In the Exodus, the Lord triumphed over the Egyptians, but in doing so, he brought Israel to himself. You go back to Exodus 19 and 20, it's not merely that he brought them out of Egypt. It's not that he's bringing them to the promised land. He says that I brought you to myself. And that's the main idea in the Exodus, is God is bringing his people to himself. Then it tells us his faithfulness, not only has his steadfast love prevailed over us, but the faithfulness of the Lord is forever. Not only has the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, and that looks back, but it looks forward to the fact that he will be faithful to his people for all ages. So the Lord has triumphed and brought his people to himself in the past, and now through his faithfulness, he will continue to look after them forever. And so you notice how his covenant works in both in delivering and saving them and then persevering with them. So again, as we mentioned, this is a reference back to Exodus 34. It's a reminder of God's covenant with his people. He has brought his people to himself. He has made that covenant with them, and he is faithful and continues to look after them and look after us, even when we are not always faithful to him. Michael Wilcox, when you grasp what he, this is how he describes this idea. When you, the Gentiles, grasp what he has done for us, the people of Israel, what the Passover and the Exodus actually mean, you will see that he, God alone, deserves your allegiance too. And that's how Israel worked. Israel was to be a light to the nations. Israel was to show God's great steadfast love to the people. And the people around them were supposed to say, wow, God is really good to his people Israel. I think I want to be on that team. God is really good to his people Israel. Where are our gods? This is where we should go. We should think about that in relation to us. But in the primary sense, we are those nations. In the fact that God has, through Christ, through the people of Israel, he brought Christ into the world, and through Christ, he has brought salvation to us as his people. So in a sense, we are the nations, and in another sense, we should live out what Israel does. So we need to recognize that God, through the people of Israel, as God delivered his people, Rahab understood that. When Rahab comes and she says the people are quaking in fear because they know what God did to the Egyptians and they see you coming to us. But it's interesting that her attitude is, I kind of want to be with you guys. I want to join with this God, the God who actually would conquer the Egyptians directly to his people. I want to be with the God who kept his people going through 40 years in the wilderness. Wilderness. Thank you. I want to serve this God. And we have seen that because God has obviously brought through his people and through Christ, he has brought that promised Messiah to himself. The promised seed made it clear that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. Also, we as believers should be a light to the nations in our own sense. We should both speak the gospel and live the gospel in a way that others will see how great God is and they will want to turn to him. Okay, Ashley, can we have a few more?
Okay, this is from Nadia. I am thankful that I can go to work, and this is in all caps, that I can go to work and I can come to Fusion on Sundays during the pandemic. I am thankful for God's word and for biscotti and dark chocolate. I am thankful for the Fusion family, the fun memories of game night, and we can still pray and share our needs. laughter, and answered prayers through technology. This is from Susan Chisholm. We are thankful for countless blessings, but here are a few. God's provision for our redemption from sin. Jesus' willingness to make the sacrifice for us. The gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us daily. The Word. Our wonderful family. Children, their spouses, our grandchildren. The Moody Church and Fusion family. Health. So much more. Scott and I often verbalize our blessings to each other. A continual reminder of his provision for us. Susie Chisholm. This is from Philip. Howdy, y'all. I am thankful for the faithfulness of Fusion and the Moody Church. You have been a constant encouragement to me during the time I am in Texas. I am thankful for the blessing God gave me in my faithful, loving, and generous parents. This is from Rudy. Church, Fusion, my daughter, health, technology. Thankfully, Ruby.
Awesome. Okay, well, Ruby and Scott and Susie, Nadia, Philip, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful all that you've been brought in our community. We love you guys, and we're so grateful for you. And Philip, go Red Raiders. Yes. Except when you play Michigan, of course. Okay. We should do it more often, Toddy. We really should. We've done it a couple times. The first time it was really a lot, and the second time everyone was kind of, I had to fill in blanks a lot. So, but we should do this. We should do this a lot. We look at Romans 15. Look at Romans 15. Where is it? Well, Nadia got before 16, so that's good. That's close enough. Camarinas, I'm sure you got it. I can spend like 3 years teaching you guys the joke. Okay. Romans 15, and can we look at verse 8 and following? Just follow me. I'll read this for you, but follow along in your Bibles. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, see this? Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. That's Paul's translation of verse 1. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Now let's kind of think about this. Paul quotes this psalm, and there's several other passages as well, to teach us that through God's deliverance of Israel, he has brought mercy to the Gentiles. See, God not only brings a promise to Abraham, but then God brings his people out of Egypt. And he protects them through all these years, even when they're put into exile. There's always a remnant. Paul talks about that in Romans 9 through 11. There's always a remnant. God always managed to preserve his people. And while he preserves his people, the time comes to the time of Christ. And through that people, we have the blessed Messiah. We are shown how great God is through Christ because he shows us the Father. And because of that, we the Gentiles now are able to see Christ, and God is bringing a people to himself from every people and tribe and tongue and nation. He is bringing all people from all these different nations to himself, and God is bringing this church together. We should praise God for his mercy, and we too, then, should do all we can to kindle the nations to praise him. We should, just as Israel was to be a light to the nations, Jesus was the light to the Gentiles. So Paul says that now our job is to be the light to the nations. We are to be that light. We are to speak the gospel especially, but we are also to live in a way that brings praise to God, where the nations say, look at those people. Look at God's people. I want to be like them. I want to have what they have. I want the God that they have, because nothing's working for me. We need to live in that way. And this is from F.B. Meyer. The call to all you peoples makes this a strong missionary psalm. Are we doing all we can to kindle the nations to praise? They cannot praise him whom they do not know. It is mere hypocrisy on our parts to bid them to praise him if we have never sought to spread by lip or gift by the mercy and truth that is received in Jesus Christ our Lord. We should bring the gospel to people. We should show them the truth, and we should also live in a way that commends the gospel to all. It is our job in the Great Commission to call the nations to praise him. The gospel is to go everywhere, and we should bring that truth to all. And so through this work, it is now our job to kindle their love for the Lord and kindle their desire to praise the Lord. Ashley, can we have a couple more before I...
Certainly. Okay, we have Crystal Pinckney. Community, family, especially my mother, fusion, technology, sunlight, Amazon, they have been a godsend. God bless Crystal. Next, from Mary Stahlu. Good afternoon. Some things I am thankful for are steady employment throughout this pandemic, technology that allows us to connect across vast distances, parents who raised me in the Christian faith, my health and physical ability, that we can have hope in the midst of suffering. Enosha. My list is long, so please don't feel like you need to include all of them. Number one, the encouragement and guidance from God's word. My parents and my brothers and their families continued good health during the pandemic. A leaky bathroom ceiling that was fixed. The global nature of the pandemic has renewed my understanding of God's love for the nations. Mm-hmm. Connections through phone calls, emails, texts throughout the pandemic with friends, family, and church family. Pastor Birchie, Michael Pitts, pastors, the elders, and their families who sought the Lord and guides for church family throughout the pastoral search and pandemic, God has given the grace to make some difficult decisions. That even during the time of shortages, we had food mm-hmm. and what we needed. Mm-hmm. And for moments of reflection in the Christian community over the social and racial unrest. And that's just a few. She had 19. So I think I read about
you read some of the best ones, yes.
Okay.
Oh, and you know, for all of you, Mary, Enosha, Crystal, we're so grateful for you. We love you guys. We're so glad you're part of the Fusion family. I am extremely grateful for all of us, whether the people who've been here in the room, the people who are joining us on Facebook. You know, it's been hard to see the shrinking in the church, but at the same time, I'm so extraordinarily grateful for all who've been faithful, and we're faithful. We are grateful for all of you. We're grateful for you all. You've encouraged us. You help us to keep going, because there are times when we just want to collapse, and I'm sure you understand that feeling too. But, you know, it is so important, as Hebrews says, when we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we encourage one another and we build one another up. And we need that, especially in this hard time. Okay, let me bring some conclusions to the little psalm that could. I really left a lot on the cutting room floor. I think there's a lot in this wonderful psalm. First of all, the Lord, through delivering Israel, and especially through the promised Messiah, has shown us how great he is. We should praise him for his steadfast love and faithfulness. Through Israel, God brought us Christ. And so we should praise him for his steadfast love and faithfulness. The Lord of Israel is the God of all the earth. He created the world. He's the true God. Therefore, all the nations should praise him. The nations should praise him. And that gives us the confidence to bring the gospel to all the nations. As Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go. Because the gospel is for everyone. Because the Lord is the God of everyone. We, as his people, should also bring this message of his steadfast love and faithfulness to the whole world. We, in the way we live, in the way we spread the gospel, in the way we show God's blessings to us, should be those who cause the nations to want to praise the Lord and cause the nations to want to laud him and extol him. Finally, we should look forward to the great day when all the people are gathered together from amongst Israel and all the nations to praise him. We should look forward to that great day because we were created to praise God and extol him. His steadfast love has prevailed over us, not only over Israel, but over us. And his faithfulness is forever. So we can thank God that he has triumphed over us with his steadfast love, that his faithfulness will endure forever. Let's read this again at the end. Okay, can we do that? Okay, let's read the whole psalm together. Remember where we say hallelujah. And you at home as well. Hallelujah. Yeah. All nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for all he has brought to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that we have cause every day to praise you for your character and the great things that you bring to us. Even in a hard time, you have looked after us. You have helped us to persevere. You have taken care of us. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for your great love. And we thank you that you are sovereign over all situations. And you will continue to look after your people in this time and in all times forever. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.